Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. I think this will be the last time we look at this passage together, but let's read it. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's just pray briefly as we come to God's word. Lord, we are so appreciative, so thankful for your word, the living word of God. And we ask again that you would speak to us through it, that you would equip us for what's ahead, that you would prepare us, that you would cause us to worship. Lord, whatever it is that we need to hear this morning, we pray that you'd speak through your word to us. And we thank you for that miracle, really, of the Spirit at work that applies perhaps different aspects of the word to each one of us. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, the last Sunday of the year. I wonder how 2020 has been for you. It's been a very strange year. Now, I toyed with the idea, with it being the last Sunday of the year, to reflect back on the things I said at the beginning of the year. And I won't give you a test because it's a bit mean on you. But if you remember, you might recall as I say that we spoke, and in fact the first 3 weeks of the year, I spoke about a 2020 vision. And it was all from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. And I said that the vision was this, that it was about living for God. This is what the 1 Peter 4, 2 says. It says, "Live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." And so for 3 weeks we reflected on what that might mean for 2020, to live not for our human passions, but to live for the will of God. And if you have time this week, there weren't videos at that point, that was pre-COVID and pre-online live and all the rest of it, but you will find on the website, if you'd like to go, you could listen to those first three sermons and reflect on how the year has gone as you've sought to live for God during 2020. In fact, the third of those sermons was specifically about living for Jesus in times of trouble. It was specifically thinking about being persecuted, but according to the context of 1 Peter 4, but you'll find that many of those things are still relevant to us thinking about the troubled times in which we've been living. And as I thought about preaching, sort of like to sort of end the year, like a bookend with vision for 2020, I just could not get settled about it. The more I sat and thought about it and prayed about it and started to write a sermon, I just could not settle. And then I thought, well, another idea I'd had is, what about learning lessons that we've learned during this pandemic? Perhaps we should sit down together this morning and just reflect on some of the things that we can learn from the pandemic and how we should respond. And again, the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, I just could not settle. Instead, I find myself coming back to Luke chapter 2 and really looking at, what was the next section? I'd already planned, obviously, that I was going to speak on Christmas Day on that, about the manger, about the sign. And I found myself drawn back, and I decided that I was going to preach on these verses 13 and 14. This host, this heavenly host, a multitude of angels that praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And it felt to me, I'm not sure, I'm sure it wouldn't have worked out quite like this, but those first two things seemed to be like a bit of a human desire to talk about those things, and it starts with human needs and thoughts. And this one instead directs our hearts and minds straight to God, and so perhaps that's always a good plan, to be speaking about God himself. So it seems to be right to end a troubled year by focusing our hearts and our minds upon God. And we're going to do that through the things that these angels said as they appeared to the shepherds. Now, do you ever enjoy or find an interesting thought in listening to someone else's conversation? Have you ever done that? I don't mean that you deliberately go around snooping at someone's window or anything like that. I just mean that when you happen to be walking around and you hear a conversation between other people, sometimes you might find it's really interesting. Perhaps someone's speaking on a mobile phone, and sometimes people tend to do that quite loudly, don't they? I don't know if you're on a train or in a bus or even just walking down or around the shop, you hear someone speaking on the phone, and you just think, of course, you only hear one side of the conversation, but you're sort of intrigued by what they're saying. Well, you know, I'm a man of few words, and so it's interesting to hear sometimes what people talk about. Well, here we have a wonderful opportunity to overhear, a conversation isn't probably the right word, but you're overhearing the praise of angels as they worship God. We're overhearing the response of the heavenly host as they hear the birth of Jesus announced to these shepherds. It gives us a wonderful insight. Sort of the curtain is drawn back. These beings that are all around, they're real. The angels live and they're sent as messengers to people in the world. This is operating all the time. These angels are busy all the time. And suddenly we get like the curtain drawn back, and we actually see and hear something about them. And so we are being privileged this morning to hear a heavenly conversation. You know those old radios where you know, as you turn it went, and then you'd hear a bit of music, and then it, and then you hear the cricket or something. And then, well, just imagine that you tune in the radio, and suddenly you tune in to the heavenly wavelength, and you hear praise between angels and God. And as we listen to their praise, we're going to discover what the birth of Jesus did. It's one way of describing what the birth of Jesus did, what this news meant And indeed, not just what it meant or what it did, but what it does today and what it is still doing and will do into the future. And these are the two things that I want to speak about. Firstly, it brings glory to God in the highest. So the announcement of Jesus being born, this truth about the Son of God coming down and living among us, brings glory to God in the highest. And secondly, it brings peace to men on earth. And of course, by men there, I'm speaking about mankind, about humankind. It brings peace to men on earth. So firstly then, glory to God in the highest. This is really almost exactly what they say, isn't it? Glory to God in the highest. One of the angels had appeared to the shepherds on his own. I say he because whenever we find the name of an angel, it's a male name, so we assume that they're male. He appears to these shepherds, and he makes the announcement that we learn in verses 10 and 11. You remember when he said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." And after he's made that announcement, and at this point the shepherds are absolutely in fear and flabbergasted by the appearance of this angel and seeing the glory of the Lord shining around them, suddenly, with this one angel, appears a multitude of the host of heavenly beings. So this is more angels. In fact, the word host could easily be translated, it's a military word, and it could be translated the army of heaven. It was like an army of angels appeared and started praising God. What an eruption of heavenly praise. You know, we've heard some announcements of some good news quite recently, haven't we? We heard the announcement of a vaccine for COVID, and people were excited and happy. We've heard, I think especially the scientists who were from this country thought it was wonderful that we were able to do it first here, and certainly in the Western world at least, to vaccinate people. And then just a few days ago, there was the Brexit deal announced, and people were happy. Finally, there's been a deal. I guess we'll find out the detail in due course, but there's been a deal at least of some sort, just 4.5 years after the referendum. There's a bit of new happy news in our house yesterday. I was going to say we worked on the car, but Tom worked on the car and I watched. And he fixed a fault that was on my car, an ABS light that kept coming on, and we fixed it. He put a new sensor on, and when you turn the ignition, no faults. We're all happy. Got some news just yesterday. Loftus is going to get £9 million spent on it. Wow, this is good news. These are nothing, are they, compared to the news that was announced that caused the angels to erupt in praise. When the angel made this announcement to the shepherds, it was as like, I don't know, I don't think this is irreverent, but can you just imagine the other angels listening? And as they heard, finally, this news being announced, you know, perhaps they don't, of course we don't know all the ins and outs of how it works with angels and what they know and what they don't know, but we do know that an angel had already gone to Mary and an angel had already gone to Joseph. They knew something of what was happening. And so as the final announcement was made to the shepherds that the child was born, you can imagine them all suddenly going, yes, and starting to scream and praise to their God. And even the shepherds are given a glimpse of what's going on in the heavenly realms. It seems like the excitement in heaven couldn't be contained, as they were amazed that the Son of God was born as a baby. It wasn't enough just to have one angelic voice proclaiming and giving praise. They all wanted to join in and praise. You know, I don't know if you've ever gone to a football match. It's a bit weird at the moment. If you ever watch a football match at the moment where there's no crowd and they score a goal, and you might hear a little whoop from the guy who scored, And there might be a little bit of, yeah, from the benches, but it's nothing compared to when the stadium is full. You know, we used to live, when I was a student, I lived with some other guys about 50 yards away from Ayerson Park. And you knew on a Saturday when the ball was in the back of the net, you didn't have to watch the match. You could hear the roar of the crowd going up. In fact, you could hear it probably right across Middlesbrough. Didn't happen too often though, did it? But there was a roar. Everyone wants to shout. And if you go to the Riverside now, there's a little ditty that they play. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. And the crowd really gets going as the ball's gone in the back of the net. And it's sort of like in a marvellous heavenly way. It's a bit like that, isn't it? As the angels proclaim the truth of the gift of a saviour to the world, there's this massive celebration in heaven. I don't know whether those words in verse 14 were sung. Apparently, where it says a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, it could equally be singing. So we don't really know. So we don't quite know how it was said or if it was chanted or shouted. But I guess it was an amazing sound hearing a host of heavenly beings shouting glory to God in the highest. And, well, what does glory mean? Glory is about splendor. It's about honor, bringing honor to God. They wanted honor to be given to God for what he was doing. Glory to God in the highest. We want to honor God. We want to bring him majesty and praise. We want to declare his greatness before everybody because of what he is doing. The angels, of course, knew the Son of God. They knew him in heaven. Ever since they were created, they've known this Son of God to be worshipped and praised in heaven, part of the amazing Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were the recipients of all the praise of the angels from eternity. But now, here he was, born on earth. They'd seen him come to earth before and do things, appearing to people in the Old Testament, but now he'd come and taken the form of a human. He'd taken on human nature. He was born here and would be living here. The angels were unable to contain their worship as they thought about what that meant. That God was showing such love to the world that he deserved such glory. I wonder this morning, is your heart bursting with something of this joy? I'm sure we can't grasp it. We certainly don't understand it the way God does. Perhaps we can't grasp it quite as fully as the angels. I don't know. But this is a glorious thing, isn't it? That God would become a man for us. He loved the world so much. In fact, he loved you so much that he came and lived on this earth. This one who had been worshipped in heaven now humbled himself and was born on the earth. I wonder if you're struggling to express your wonder, to express your delight, to worship such a marvellous God who would send his Son in the world, into the world for you. And so today is a day of worship. It's a day of bringing glory to God. A day for the world to give thanks and praise for what God has done. You know, the Bible says, doesn't it, that every time someone repents and believes in Jesus, trusts in his name, believes what he's done for them, the angels celebrate. Even today, when a person puts their faith and trust in Christ for the first time, the angels sort of throw a party. Angels are celebrating your salvation. But the praise isn't going to you. The praise is going to God. So at the end of 2020, let's give thanks to God for the many blessings that we have known. And especially if you know what it is to be one of his children, if you know what it is to be born again of his Spirit, if you know what it is to know that he's at work in your heart, you've trusted in him, your sins are forgiven, you have a future and eternity with him, make known your thanks to your Father in heaven. Worship the Son. Know the power of the Spirit at work. in your life. So this glory to God in the highest, that the angels proclaim, continues in a way, doesn't it, to reverberate. It continues to echo around the world. This glory that we give to God for what he's done by giving us his Son is still reverberating as we give him glory and praise. And I guess, well, I'm sure we'll continue into all eternity to be our words of praise to our God. Secondly then, what else does this birth of a Saviour do? The first thing is that it brings glory to God, and still does. And secondly, it brings peace to men on earth. The blessings of this birth were also real and tangible to mankind. I don't know about you, but I find it a little bit awkward to read the way it's written in the ESV. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. I think other versions have with upon whom his favour rests. And there are some technical linguistic questions about the meaning of the phrase, and you can look it up if you're interested. But the angels continue by proclaiming the peace that Jesus will bring among those who trust in him. Do you remember the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9 that calls Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace? Jesus himself claims in John 14 and verse 27 to be the one who brings peace. And this peace that he brings was not peace as the world gives. The world gives peace by stopping war. The world seeks peace by, I don't know, through music and through solitude and through contemplation. And I don't know about you, but you've heard this thing called mindfulness and meditation and all sorts of lifestyles that people invest themselves in to try and seek peace. And through all sorts of counselling and other help. Now, some of those are good, perhaps some of them aren't so good. But there are ways in which we can seek something of this peace. But true, complete, perfect peace only comes from God, and it comes through the Lord Jesus. And that's why the angels are excited and say, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. God had come to earth to bring us peace. Peace especially with God himself. The greatest thing, Colin Buchanan's song says, the greatest thing in the whole wide world is peace with God. What greater thing could God give us than that? Peace with him. That we might be at one with him. That we might know relationship with him. And as we are brought at peace with him, we are brought at peace to one another who trust him. This is where the idea of the licorice allsorts comes in as well, doesn't it? Because as we stand together at the foot of the cross, acknowledging and worshipping Jesus for what he's done, we're brought together, brothers and sisters, standing on the same ground. Doesn't matter how much money you've got in your bank account. Doesn't matter what sort of clothes you've got on. It doesn't matter what colour of your skin. We all stand in the same place before the Lord Jesus. And so we're also brought in peace with one another. And I suspect this is true. What do you think? Without true peace in God, with God, you will never be fully at peace with yourself or your family or your friends. Without true peace with God, you will never be at true peace with yourself or with your family and friends. And do you remember the Hebrew word for peace, often spoken of, is shalom? And it's a really helpful concept because it's much more than just an absence of war. It's about wholeness. It's about completeness. It's about health in every sphere of life, including spiritual, including emotional, including physical, including social, that all is well, that things are good, you're at peace. That only comes when we're at peace with God. This is one of the blessings that's brought to us through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps the greatest blessing. The angels were celebrating this fact, that the birth of Jesus brings God glory in heaven and brings peace here on earth to men. Now, I don't know about you, but if ever there was a time when this peace was so desperately needed, it's now in this earth. It's been so sadly lacking, I would suggest, in 2020, that people have been caught up with fear and caught up with tensions. These things have ruled our lives and we've got worried and anxious about it. How we need to know the true peace of God. I think we need to be honest as well and point out that the angels do not promise peace to everybody. It's peace among those with whom he is pleased, or peace with those on whom his favour rests. God's peace will only come to those who trust in the Lord Jesus. Those who refuse, those who will not listen, those who will not bow the knee, those who will not be humbled, will not know that peace. You can't know the peace of God while you run away from him. You can't know God's peace while you're worshipping yourself. You can't know God's peace while you stubbornly refuse to follow his ways. If you want wholeness and completeness, you need to receive the one whose birth was being announced to these shepherds. Isn't it what we want, though? Poor people want peace. Rich people want peace. You don't need me to tell you, there's so much evidence. You might look at people that are really rich and think, oh, what a wonderful life, but they need peace just as much as anyone else. Ordinary people want peace. Famous people want peace. Sick people want peace. Well people want peace. Unemployed people want peace. The overworked want peace. The slaves want peace. The masters want peace. True peace is only found in this one place. And that's not in a thing, but it's in a person. It's in Jesus himself. Only he can bring you into peace with God. And only he can maintain that peace beyond your death. So, as we come towards the end of 2020, and as we start beginning to think about new beginnings, you could do a lot worse than making these two things at the top of your list of things that you long for and appreciate and give thanks to God for. Bringing glory to God and knowing and displaying peace with God and with our fellow man. I said at the beginning, this short sentence really describes what Jesus achieves as he comes to earth and lives and dies and is raised again for us. He brings glory to God. Still does. And he brings peace to men on earth. Let's pray and give thanks, and then we'll have our final song. Father God, how appreciative we are for this gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray that today we might, in some way, bring some honor and glory to God for what you have done for us. That as we reflect back, it causes us today to give praise to you, our God, to stir one another up in praise and worship, to proclaim the gospel to those who don't know it. And we pray too, as we reflect on this great word, that also we would know true peace with you, the living God. We wouldn't run away. We wouldn't be hiding stuff, but we would come to you and seek to know that peace afresh. And Lord, we long to bring and see that peace with others that currently don't know you. We do thank you for the peace that you give us as your followers, drawing us together in your church. We pray that we might know that blessing richly and deeply in 2021. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close by listening to another a song. I guess it's not really a carol, but it starts speaking about Jesus born in a stable. It's called From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable.